Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Man, amen. So, that is why I asked Alexis, can I be in the dance elective? She said, absolutely not. Just joking, I didn't. But I would have broken a hip if I tried to do that. But I tell you, you may feel like God is shining a light on you, but I know God is shining a light on all of us today. Wow, what a beautiful morning. What an absolutely beautiful morning. We are blessed, are we not? So let me tell you about a phrase that we had growing up in my house. If someone would say, ooh, what's that smell? Something smells weird. We'd say, oh, buddy, it must be your upper lip. Must be your upper lip. I know it's not the nicest thing to say, and I think actually Lucas asked me that a couple weeks ago. He said, oh, what's that smell? And I said, it must be your upper lip. He said, oh, daddy. And what's that smell, you ask? I was talking to Matt Satterley yesterday. He knows what that smell is, and it's literally my upper lip. It's whipped cream that turned into spoiled cream. That's what my upper lip smelled like this week. But hold that thought and we'll come back to it. We had an incredible week at Shine, did we not, kids? Did we not? And on day one, there was an incentive to the kids for winning games and various activities. The prize was to see the person of your choice get a pie in the eye, aka pie in the face, right? And all week they're doing just what they're doing right now. Ooh, it's coming for you, Captain. It's coming for you. So if you won, you got to color in a piece of the pie, and I think the pie is still out there. And if you pass by it, you can see it. You can see literally my nerves getting more and more nerve-wracking. The whole week we're getting on. Every day I started to see my face fill in more and more. And I'm thinking, what did I do to y'all? So then thank you, Sadat. Thank you. Then on Thursday, I love this, by the way. I love this. Then on Thursday, I kept hearing mumblings that the colored slices on my pie were the first to be filled up. The first. And who was the last person to add to my pie? She's smiling right now, a very big grin. Evangeline Holtz. I won't hold it against her too badly. Too badly. The first day, I was talking to her, and it was, hello. And by Thursday, it was the biggest smile on her face. Thank you, Evangeline. But Friday afternoon comes and the kids were so excited, but come to find out it wasn't just me. My good old pals Jake and Melissa got to join me in getting a pie in the eye. And the last thing Melissa told Jake and I was, I'm so sorry for your beards. So sorry for your beards. So the time came, we had whipped cream all over our faces, all in our beards and our hair. And Carla, my beautiful wife, she didn't just put it on my face. She put it everywhere. She put it in there and just rubbed it in. And Rosie's right in front of me yelling and screaming. And everyone's like, can you hear me? I was like, no, I can't. All I hear is Rosie in my ear. Thank you, Rosie. And I immediately, actually, Jake, Anna, where are you, Jake? Immediately, we went to the kitchen because I knew we'd have a deep sink. And actually, the first thing I did, pulled out my key, went to the janitor closet because I thought maybe there'd be a mop bucket kind of hose in there. I didn't see it in the first one, so I just went to the kitchen, immediately dunked my head
under the sink, and I'm thinking I'm in the clear. Even after going home that afternoon, took a shower, and thinking I'm in the clear, but no, my upper lip. It stank. Even yesterday, I'm still smelling it, and they say it's for the children. It's all for the children. So yes, we had so much fun this week. So much fun. But we also had fun learning about Jesus, the Word of God, right? We had fun learning about the Word of God. The theme of the week was live like who?
Jesus.
Theme of the week was live like Jesus, with a theme verse found in Philippians 2, verse 5. And the New International Reader's Version, it says it like this. Can you say it with me? As you deal with one another, you should think and act like Jesus did. Thank you. What a great verse. It's exactly what we all should be doing, right? Not just the kids and youth in our care. The message says it like this. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Wow, that's a lot to live up to, isn't it? Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. There are so many ways that we can live like Jesus, right? And this morning, we're going to look at a few ways we can do just that. And adults, yes, I am speaking to you too. Don't miss what God is saying. But I am really kind of speaking to the youth this morning. But that's okay. God has a word for all of us this morning, does he not? However, I want you to listen. Don't miss it. We're going to look at living like Jesus by living in peace with one another. Kids, do you remember that on Tuesday? Living in peace with one another. By looking out for one another. By encouraging one another, and by accepting one another. So what does it mean to live in peace? That's quite the loaded question. It's quite the question to ask right here in the United States of America, but it's probably a little harder to answer that question in other parts of the world. What does it mean to live in peace? If we went around the room, we'd probably have 15 to 20 different answers to that question. But listen to what Paul has to say in Romans 12. 17 and 18. Romans 12, 17 and 18, he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. Let me tell you a story of two brothers. Two brothers. So once upon a time, because every good story starts that way, right? Once upon a time, there were two brothers. Their father had a large farm, and when he became too old to work, he called his sons to him, and he said, children, boys, my sons, I'm too old to work. I'm going to divide my farm in half and give each of you half. I know that you'll always work together well. I know you'll always love each other. I know you'll always be the best of friends. When the brothers first started farming on their adjoining farms, they were the best of friends and would share everything together. Then one day there was an argument between the two brothers, and they stopped speaking to one another. For many years, not a word was spoken between them. One day, one of the brothers was at his house when a carpenter came to his door and said, hey, I'm free, I need some work. Do you have any work that I can do? The brother thought for a moment and then replied, can you build a fence on my property? Build it down near the stream there that separates my farm from my brother's farm. I don't want to see my brother at all. Just put a big fence there. And I want you to build it as high as you can. I'm going into town and I'll be back this evening. So when he came back that evening, he was shocked to see the carpenter had not followed his instructions. Instead of building a high fence, he built a bridge. He built a bridge over the stream where he wanted him to build a fence. The man walked down to take a look at the bridge, and as he did, his brother walked toward him from the other side. His brother said, "After all the terrible things I've done to you over the years, I can't believe that you would build a bridge and welcome me back." He reached out to his brother and gave him the biggest hug. The brother then walked back up to his farmhouse to talk to the carpenter. "Can you stay?" he asked. "I have more work for you to do." But the carpenter answered, I'm sorry, I can't stay. I have to go because I have more bridges to build." Kids, have you ever had a disagreement with a friend? Yeah. That was quick. You ever have a disagreement with a family member?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we have disagreements, right? And when that happens, what do we want to do first? We want to build a fence, right? Maybe not literally, but maybe we stop talking to each other. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my own household. "Well, I'm not talking to you anymore. Don't talk to me anymore. I'm not your sister." Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Maybe we don't want to see them anymore. We don't want to be around them anymore. Is this living like Jesus? This isn't what Jesus wants us to do. Instead of fences, he wants us to build a bridge of love between us. You said build a bridge and get over it, right? Well, it's more than that. Build a bridge and do get over it, but get over it together. This is exactly what Paul was saying in Romans 12. He's instructing believers here in the way they should treat others, whether fellow church members or those outside the church walls. One way we live like Jesus is living in peace with one another. Jesus never repaid evil with evil. Instead, he responded to the sin and evil of others with grace and with love. As Christians, we are to respond to hate with love, right? Respond to hate with mercy. The next time you're misrepresented or falsely accused or betrayed, you are to respond with love. Kids, adults for that matter, youth, when's the last time someone said something mean to you or rude to you and the first thing you wanted to do was get up and say something back? Or worse, there's a little anger building up in your heart and you wanted to have a bit more than words. Rather than reacting off the cuff by saying or doing the first thing that enters our minds, we need to give careful thought to the way we respond to those who hurt us, who offend us. Focus on doing what is right and honorable. To even begin living in peace with others, we need to forgive others, right? Because that's what Jesus did. Paul told the Ephesians, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." We are called to forgive others in the same way that God has forgiven us in Christ. Another way to live like Jesus is to look out for your neighbor. Are we looking out for each other? Are we encouraging those around us? To live like Jesus is to look out for our neighbor. It was read earlier, but hear this again, Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." Did you know that as a believer, you're not in a competition with others? It doesn't matter who the godliest is or the most influential. It doesn't matter who has the best Instagram shot of their morning devotional time. If that's your goal, then you're not working for God. You're serving your own ego. Rather, your purpose is to represent Christ to the lost so that they will be saved, right? It's always been and will always be about others. Carla and I have been here now for a whopping 4 weeks. There are so many things we've yet to do here and yet to see in action. There's people we haven't met yet. I'm still meeting some people here today. So many people we haven't met and can't wait to do so. There's restaurants we want to eat at. We passed by a Brazilian place the other day and said, yes, we're going there. Most of the little Brazilian hole in the walls are up like Sandy Springs area. So we will be making our way over there. But there's one on Sugar Loaf. So we may go there this week. But so many places we haven't been, places we want to take our children and our family, so many things we haven't gotten to do yet. But since day one, what we have seen is a family of believers who look out for each other. Literally, since day one. There are people in this world who yearn for these types of relationships. I'm telling you that. This is a community who rallies around its people, rallies around its people. And Carla and I are so proud to be here and serve here in the midst of it all. This is to serve like Jesus. This is to live like Jesus. Our Lord looked out for people, did he not? How are you looking out for those around you? Are you encouraging your friends and your family when they're down or when they need prayer? To live like Jesus, we must be encouraging one another. Full stop. When you're at the, I know school starts in 2 weeks, three, something like that. School starts soon. And I know this is kind of a cliche thing, but you know when you're at the, lunch table and there's someone sitting by themselves, you know, do we talk about them? Do we just kind of walk by them? You know, you invite them to your table. We got a few in the room here that are going into training this week. It's the same thing there. I remember when I was in training, there are people sitting by themselves. We join in. We invite them to our table. We encourage others. We look out for them. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day, capital D, the day approaching. Christians have a high calling to care for one another and to encourage one another spiritually and morally. This means that it's very important to God that we look out for people. God wants us to be kind. God wants us to be friendly to one another. An important way for us to encourage one another is to do exactly what we're doing here today. And that's simply coming to church. We come to church gathering together just like this. God simply did not design us to go at it alone in our Christian faith or grow in isolation. Our participation in our church not only protects our personal fellowship with the Lord, but it's a vital aspect to how he matures us and transforms us into his image. So kids, next week when your parents say, get up, it's time to go to church, get up because it's time to go to church, okay? It is time to be here. This is how we grow closer to God, right? I realize there are many who would love to be here and simply cannot because of various reasons or health concerns. And I'm so grateful that we have an online ministry, that they're able to watch, they're able to listen. But for those that can, we must never cease meeting together. There's so much encouragement within these walls. How many of you have ever heard someone say, I don't know how often we say it these days, kids, but you heard, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt me? How many of you believe that? Believe that words can't hurt people? Words hurt people. Words hurt people. I was talking to someone this morning about, you know, I got off Facebook for a while back in March because I just tired of seeing words that were hurting people. And then we were appointed here and realized I'm missing a lot of stuff. I'm missing a lot of news. I'm missing a lot of updates. So I did get back on just a little bit to peruse. I'm perusing again. But friends, words hurt. Most grown-ups I know can remember something that was said to them when they were a child or a teen or even an adult that hurt them. But in the same way that words have the power to hurt, they also have the power to help. They have the power to make us feel good. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about how God wants us to use our words to help others. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And the first part of it says, encourage one another. Build each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. I looked up the word encourage in the dictionary. Kids, do you know what a dictionary is? Yeah, good. Good. I looked it up, even though I know what it means. But sometimes I'll do that with a word that I already know because it helps me to understand it a little better. The dictionary said that encourage means to give courage, to give hope or confidence to give support to or help. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't encourage others because you're too young. I've seen it just this week, literally saw it this week. A young man wasn't feeling well or he was kind of in his feelings, and I saw another put his hand on his back and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. They're not too young to encourage one another. The Bible talks about that, about being too young too. How are we encouraging one another? Lastly, to live like Jesus, we are to accept one another. The word accept means to receive, to take as one's companion, to take by the hand and lead, to grant access to one's heart, to take into friendship. To accept a brother or sister in Christ is not just to put up with them. We don't just belong to the same church, then have nothing to do with them. It is to welcome them. It is to love them. It is to serve them. Why is accepting others different than us so hard? Well, it's because they're different. It's because we're different. We're different in personalities. We're different in our spiritual growth. We're different in how we were raised. We're different in our convictions and beliefs about various things. I mean, even Carla and I were raised very differently. First time we had dinner together with our folks, we're eating pizza, and they're all eating with a knife and a fork. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I was literally, my hands were shaking. And then her mother goes, oh, Chris, you can pick it up with your hand. If she's watched, she might watch this. But she did she not? But we were raised differently. You better believe I picked up that pizza as fast as I can with my hand. But we're different in our values. If we don't handle our differences well, they can easily divide us. And instead of being accepting, we start rejecting one another. We start pushing each other away. However, God is very clear. According to Romans 15:7, we are told to accept each other, just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory. Now, let me tell you, this is what we call a command. It's not a suggestion. When your parents ask you to clean your room, who's been asked to do that before? Goodness, I've been asked to do that recently. Take out the trash. Empty the dishwasher. Let me tell you, they may be asking, but they're not asking. They're commanding you to do that. It's not a suggestion. But God wants and expects us to be accepting of others. Instead of being known for rejecting others, God wants his people to be known for acceptance and love of others. This is a command to you and me to accept each other. Accepting one another is to receive others with special care. This is not the type of acceptance where you roll your eyes and say, okay, you can be on my team. Been there, done that on the other end. Okay, you can be on my team. Paul is saying, I want you to place the same level of significance and value on him that you would place on me. Accepting one another is to receive another person with special concern, special care, special value. Accepting others is welcoming them into your life as you would treat someone who is important in your life. It's placing value on that person, significance on the person, and dignity on them. But listen to this. Accepting one another is not ignoring the person's sin. And adults, this day and age we live in, we say accepting, and they're, well. But listen, and we all have sin in our life, do we not? Accepting one another is not ignoring the person's sin. You can accept someone and still address the sin in their life. Accepting someone doesn't mean you approve of everything they do, everything they believe or stand for. I love that we talked about the people of Islamic faith coming into the doors. Did you accept them? I know you did. There will be times that the people who you love and accept are going to sin and are going to need to be confronted. Jesus said, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Accepting each other doesn't mean we are to ignore each other's sin. You can accept others and still confront them, but you also better be willing to point the finger in your own direction as well. For none of us are perfect, and we're all in need of a loving Savior, are we not? Again, these are just a few ways we can live like Jesus. Do you remember our theme verse from Shine? Kids, say it with me again. As you deal with one another, you should think and act as Jesus did. And then verses 6 and 7, it says, in his very nature, he was God. Jesus was equal with God, but Jesus didn't take advantage of that fact. Instead, he made himself nothing. He did this by taking on the nature of a servant. He was made just like human beings. Let me ask you all, who wants to be a king in real life? Or a queen in real life? A king or a queen usually lives in a palace, right? They usually have a lot of money. Silver and gold and jewels. They're surrounded by servants who get them anything they want. Everyone looks up to them and admires them. Who wants to be a king or a queen for the day? Did you know that there's a king who took off his crown? As a king who took off his crown and gave up his throne to become a servant. That king is Jesus. That king is Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus put aside his godly nature and came to earth to become a servant. I mean, how backward does that sound? When Jesus was on earth, he spent his entire life in service to others. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He was a friend to those who had no friends. I hope we're doing that in this room today. Jesus never lived in a palace. He had no money, no silver or gold. He had no jewels. The only crown he ever wore while he was on this earth was full of thorns. Can you believe that? Think about that, a crown full of thorns on his head. If I were to ask you if you want to be like Jesus, most of you would probably say yes, and I hope you would say yes. But I want to ask you this, would you rather be a servant or a king? Would you rather be a servant or a king. Jesus chose to be a servant. And if we want to be like him, we need to make that same choice today. Carla's going to come up in a moment and lead us in a time of prayer. But I want to challenge especially the youth that are here today. Many of you are coming home from, or coming here today from kind of what we call mountaintop experiences. Maybe you've gone through a week of shine and didn't want it to end. Maybe you're coming home from 4 weeks of music conservatory at beautiful Camp Grandview. I saw several yesterday with tears in their eyes because they didn't want to come home yet. They wanted to stay. They wanted to keep going. Or maybe you're one of the Salvation Service Corps members here today, coming home from several weeks serving around the world, from Alaska to Chile to Scotland. I bet many of you kind of wanted to keep going. You made relationships with people that you will never forget. I speak with friends all the time that went on SSC 10, 20, 30, I can speak even longer than that, and they still have stories today about it. You've learned how to live like Jesus. Some of us have taught others this summer how to live like Jesus. You've been able to take things in and seal them in your hearts. Now is when the devil likes to creep in. He likes to creep in, and especially right now, he wants to take things away from you. We want to pray this morning that God surrounds you, that he protects you, and that he guides your every step. Are you living like Jesus today? And that's not just for the youth and young adults here. Are we living like Jesus today?
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.